Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Wherever you are, I hope you're just sitting back, relaxing. If the temps are hot, I hope you're enjoying a good cup of iced tea, or tall one, I should say, of iced tea. Sit back and relax, because we're going to be talking about something that I think is important for all of us. And, of course, it's the theme of my show. It is empowerment. But we're going to be talking with a lady, Echo Bodine, who is in Minneapolis. And we're going to be talking about not just her story, but her wonderful book called The My Big Book of Healing. Echo, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's great to be here.
Echo, you are quite an interesting lady.
You
have a very unique background, and I would like for you to share your story, because you became a healer through some very unique circumstances at a rather young age, and you walked a walk that included discord, confusion, addiction, and you put this book together, and there's so much I want to ask regarding your book. So tell us your story, Echo. How did you begin this journey at such a young age?
Oh, my. Well, one of my brothers was in the beginning stages, this was back in 1965, in the beginning stages of learning how to play the drums. And one night he went down to the den to practice on his drum set, and all of a sudden, and he was clanking away as usual, and all of a sudden some really nice drumming music came from the den, and we were all sitting around the dinner table, and we looked at our dad, and dad said, "I don't know, it must be the record I bought him." And we didn't know what was going on. And so we just sat there. There was another brother, my sister, and my parents. We just sat there listening, and all of a sudden my poor brother came flying up the stairs, and he said, Did you hear? We were like, "Yeah, what was it?" And he said that a white figure floated through the door, across the room, put its hands down on top of my brother's hands, and played that music. And he said, "I tried to drop my stick. I had my eyes closed, and I could still see it." And he was hysterical. And he said, "You know, I'm never going to play my drums again. I'm never going in the den again." And we didn't know. I mean, we didn't have a clue. What in the world is this? And this was, you know, 1965, you know, you didn't talk about psychic stuff back then or even know where to find a psychic. But the good news is my mom was part of a group of women, and one of the women had mentioned to her that she had been to a psychic who lived in St. Paul here in Minnesota. And so my mom called the lady, got the phone number, called the psychic, and, you know, introduced herself. And the psychic says, "Yes, Mrs. Bodine, I've been expecting your phone call." And she says, "Your son just met his guardian angel, Dr. Fitzgerald." And she says, "When he was living on Earth, one of the things that he did was he was a drummer." And she said, "He's going to teach your son many things." And she said, "This happened for a reason, because I need to see you and your oldest daughter for a psychic reading." And my mom's like, "Yeah, okay, well, I'll get back to you on that." And when she got off the phone, and she's telling us, "Okay, well, that's his guardian angel. And he played the drums." Where, you know, Donna, nobody felt at peace from that comment, and yet we were very curious as mm-hmm. to why she wanted to see us for a reading. So Mom and I ended up going to her about a week later, and that's when she told me that I was born with all of the psychic abilities and with the gift of healing. And she said that a teacher would come into my life and help me understand my gifts, and that eventually when I grew up, because at the time I was 17, I was a senior in high school, she said when I grew up I would turn around and teach others how to develop their psychic abilities and the gift of healing. And she said I would be, someday I would be a well-known psychic healer, that I would write several books and be on radio and TV. And I remember saying to her, I said, okay, two things. One, I don't have any of this stuff. And two, I don't want any of this stuff. I said, I just want to have a nice, normal life. I don't want to be a psychic when I grow up. And she said, well, she said, you can have a normal life in your next lifetime, which wasn't comforting to me either. And
not at 17.
No. And shortly after that, another woman, a complete stranger, came into our lives, and she called my mom one night and said that she was given my name and my mom's name and told by her spirit guides that she was supposed to teach us how to develop our psychic abilities. And, you know, my mom came into my room. I remember that as clear as yesterday. And she said, well, honey, this lady just called, and she's supposed to teach us how to develop our psychic abilities. And I remember saying to my mom, I don't want to have anything to do with this stuff. It's just too weird. And she said, well, okay, let's just go once, and we'll see what it's like, and then we don't have to go back. And we actually ended up going every week for over a year. Mm-hmm. And we did develop our psychic abilities, and I did, you know, channel spiritual healing. And, you know, Donna, it took a long time. I had a lot of my own demons that I had to struggle with along the way, which, you know, is mentioned in the book. But here I am at age 60, and everything that she had predicted has come true.
It's fascinating when you think of someone telling you at the age of 17 that this is what your life is going to be. This is where you're supposed to go. There will be individuals, I'm sure, listening saying, well, that's predestination. That means you didn't have any choice. And what would your response be to someone's statement like that?
Well, you know what, Donna? I didn't go, let's see, how do I say this? I didn't just dive into it and say, oh, okay, goody, goody, I get to do this. I remember saying to the woman, you know, first of all, I've been accepted at the University of Minnesota. I am going to college. I have my own plans as to how I want my life to go. And I remember she just smiled at me like, if you only knew. And,
don't you just hate that? You
know, I did. I went ahead with my own plans, and I went to the U for 3 years. I also was a barber for a few years. That was something I'd always wanted to do, so I cut men's hair for 4 years. But the whole time that I was pursuing what I thought I wanted, my psychic abilities were continuing to get stronger, and finally, at age 29, it was like I had to shut all the other doors and just finally say, uncle, you know, I give in. And it was just time to get on this path and start doing what I'm doing now.
Well, I think it's good to share the story because there are so many people that may say, oh, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do what you do. Gee whiz, I think it's so wonderful. And they sit there and they'll have this idea. It's like they've read too many of the rag sheets.
Yeah,
and they don't understand what goes on, and they don't understand the multiple levels that are involved.
That's right. Here
you are going through your learning curve until finally you accept it. But I loved, right at the beginning of your book, and for all of you listening, please listen carefully, because these are assumptions people make about psychics, and I'll tell you, I've experienced so many of them myself. They never get sick because they are so in tune. They automatically have a close relationship with God, Spirit, whatever term you want to have. They have no great challenges in life because they're in some way privileged.
Yep.
They meditate for several hours a day, eat a vegetarian diet, and follow a very rigid exercise program. They're disciplined. Mm-hmm. They don't mm-hmm. seek material possessions because spirituality and materialism don't mix. And they're one step beyond being mere humans. All of that is a myth.
I know it is. Oh, my gosh.
It is a huge myth. And that is something that I have found, and I'm sure you have found too, that you sometimes just want to rattle people's brain chain
yep.
and say, please understand, I'm a human just like you are.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm going to have days where I maybe will have gas so bad I can hardly breathe. I
mm-hmm.
mean, there's, you know, and you have to have a sense of humor about things because you just
yep.
go, so excuse me, but you know what? This isn't such a good day. My dog died. The house has collapsed. You know,
right.
I've got them. You know, they're having a foreclosure on the house or something.
Yeah.
And all of this is life. This can happen to anybody.
I know.
And so it's really tough. And that's one of the things I like about your book called My Big Book of Healing. And it used to be called Healing with Passion, I believe it was.
It was called Passion to Heal.
Or Passion to Heal. I had the words
Passion right. to Heal.
Passion
mm-hmm.
to Heal. So my big book of healing is, it was republished and it's come out with that title. But you said the more comfortable you got with accepting
mm-hmm.
your abilities, the more
mm-hmm.
life seemed to flow in a harmony for you.
Yep.
And
true.
You give right at the beginning of your book a quote by Marianne Williamson, which is a name many of my listeners are familiar with. The experience of illness is a call to a genuinely religious life. In that sense, it is for many people one of the best things that ever happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in your life, you had a number of things to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
I have had it in mind. I'm sorry, but I haven't met anybody that hasn't got kicked in the teeth
yep.
one way or another by illness and other things.
Yep.
But you go so far as to making a statement how we each have a role in creating our state of health. Now, this
mm-hmm.
is something that many individuals would probably argue with you about, Echo.
Yep.
Explain why you came to that understanding.
Well, because, and you know, I want to make it really clear to people so that they understand, because I know Unity Church, which is, you know, the church that I've belonged to for many, many years. Okay, whoa, what just happened to my thought? Where did it go? It gives you the impression that what it's saying or believing is that we create our illness. And that, people have a really tough time with that, and I understand exactly why, because it gives the impression that we're sitting around thinking, gosh, I wish I had a good case of bronchitis so I could, you know, I don't know, get the
be out of work for 2 weeks.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have found, and what I mean by that, is that when we have unresolved emotional issues and we bury them in our body, or another way to say it is we don't deal with them, we pretend that they're not there,
mm-hmm.
they will eventually come back to bite us in the butt. Excuse me, but that's, I mean, somehow they come
mm-hmm.
back, and a lot of times they turn into physical problems because it's like they're festering inside, and we need to get the emotional experiences out. We need to talk about them. We need to cry about them. I know just yesterday I got an email from a lady who had to put her cat asleep, and she said to me, you know, I just want to go to a hypnotist and get hypnotized and have all of this pain taken out of my body so that I don't have to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I emailed her and just said, please just cry about it. Get it out of your body. Make a scrapbook about your cat. Do something active to get that pain out of your body, because it's going to turn into something if you don't. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm threatening people, but I've seen it so much in my work as a psychic and as a healer, where people will come for a physical problem, and then I see like an emotional beginning to the whole thing, something
mm-hmm.
that happened when they maybe were so young they didn't even know how to express their feelings. And here they are all these years later, and the body is just saying, don't dump this stuff in here. Get rid of it. And, gosh, Donna, I've seen it over and over and over. So that's what I mean when I say it's so important that we pay attention to ourselves and we do our emotional homework so that it doesn't sit inside and fester.
Well, I'll share a personal experience of mine.
Good.
Just to empower some of our listeners, because I think it's important. I relate very sincerely with this, and I learned this lesson when I was in my early 20s. I had gotten married to someone from a different culture, a different environment, and it was a disaster, and I was running from it. And I can remember being in so much pain internally, and it hit my female organs. And I went to the doctor, and he said, "My Lord, how long have you had this pain?" Well, at the time, it had only been for 24 hours. I found out I had ulcers that were growing inside the uterus that were huge. They were massive.
Hi.
And he said, "You could not have just been experiencing pain for 24 hours. I have had patients with something like this, and you shouldn't even be able to walk."
Wow.
Well, I realized... And I had walked 3 miles to go to the doctor because I didn't drive at the time. So I had to walk myself to the physician's office. And when I thought about it later on, I realized that I had been doing exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
And that is suppressing the ugliness, the wrong decision I had made, instead of saying, okay, this was a mistake, and moving on. I stayed in a situation for 2 years, which isn't that long a period, but it was like eternities while I was going through it. And until I let that go, I had one physical problem after another.
Okay.
And that the body was letting me know. And that at that time, interestingly enough, is when my psychic self started coming through. It was all in that time frame. So I share my story because I think, you know, you are so open in your book, my big book of healing, about your demons as you talk about them and various things. And I think it's important to be honest like that, because when you can share stories and they're real and people know that you've gone through them, then they go, wow, I need to pay attention. So when I got rid of the distortion that I had created, entered into, because I had been unaware of the vastness of mess that I had created.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was brought down to the point of reality. And so then, consequently, when that was put away, all of a sudden, all kinds of stuff, situations, conditions started coming up from other people, other things. And then I never had that problem again.
All right.
So that is why I think talking about that is so important. And you make a point about pain is the body's red warning light. Amen to that, because that is true. So the old adage is your body is a temple. You say treat your body as the most important treasure you have, and that is an absolute that I agree with. Let's talk for a moment about nice people getting sick. You have a good chapter on that. Let's go into it. You had a good statement by Bernie Siegel, the physician, too, relative to that.
I know. Oh, my gosh. When I read that, it was like, oh, yes. Well, according to what Bernie says in his quote, it was that you can go up on a cancer ward, and if there's a woman up there yelling and, you know, kind of making everybody pay attention to her and getting her needs met. He said she's the one that's going to survive versus the one who's just really sweet and says to the nurses, oh, you know, never mind me. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. You go take care of everyone else. And he says it's the person that fights for themselves that survives. And, you know, Donna, I think of all the times we hear people say, oh, why did she die? She was such a nice person. Or, you know, it's interesting. I had a professor from the university come for healing one time, and he kind of dragged his left side in, and when he got into my office, he said to me, You know what? He didn't even say, hi, I'm so-and-so. He said, I'm a Christian. And I said, okay. And he said, and I am very good to my neighbors. And I said, okay. And he said, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to take care of our neighbors. And I do that. And I said, well, okay. And so I, you know, said, what would you like healing on today? Well, he had had a stroke, and he's had a heart attack. And, okay, so he was laying on my healing table, and I asked his body, you know, is there a deeper message here with the stroke and the heart attack, anything going on specifically that he needs to know? And this voice from his body says to me, yeah, he needs to stop being nice to everybody else and start paying attention to me. Mm-hmm. And his body said, you know, how many more things have to go wrong before I get his attention? And his body said, I told him that, what his body said, and he started to cry. And he mm-hmm. said, I can't be selfish. I can't take care of myself. I can't put that much attention on myself. And he said, I have to be a good Christian and think of other people. And so, you know what his body said? His body said to me, oh, okay, fine. Well, I can break down a lot of different parts and get your attention eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of scary. It's like, buddy, you have to pay attention here to your own body and your own needs. And I remember him laying on the table, the healing table, saying, I just can't. I just can't put myself before other people.
And those probably were issues that became indoctrinated with. I like to think that maybe the day came where the man was able to finally recognize his value as a human being and that he could really do more for others when he did take care of himself.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember saying to him, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, then you're not going to be around for much longer. And then who's going to take care of those people? So why don't you make yourself the first priority? And I remember him shaking his head no and say, I just can't do that. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh. Fascinating stuff. Now, yep. You have said something as you were describing the story. You were talking about how you talk to the body. And I know many of my listeners are involved in Reiki or are fascinated with healing. Maybe they've discovered their own talents and they would like to be able to develop it. You've got psychic ability, obviously, that goes hand in hand with healing.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, Echo, what when you're talking to the body, how did you learn to do this? Because this is a conversation of energies. That's
mm-hmm.
how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to do this, what kind of training did you go through? What was your teacher like?
You know what? It was simply my psychic ability, my psychic development teacher
mm-hmm.
that taught me, you know, I learned to develop my psychic abilities. And then it's over the years, it's just kind of developed where I'm able to see inside of the body and I'm able to communicate with the person's soul and I see their soul. Sometimes I'll ask the soul if it'll come out of the body and talk to me and tell me specifically what the body needs. And that's very helpful if the person is in a coma or if they're unconscious in the hospital, then I can go in and just, you know, I ask silently, I just ask the soul, please come out and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll just say to the body, okay, please talk to me, tell me what you need. And then psychically, I just get pictures, Donna, of, you know, like the liver or maybe the kidneys will all of a sudden start flashing to me and say, you know, we need to talk. There's something wrong with us. We're full of toxins. I just had that today. Someone emailed me and they were telling me that they didn't feel very good today. And while I was reading the email, all of a sudden I saw this guy's kidneys light up and they said, you know, we're full of toxins. He's got to drink more water. You know, he's barely drinking anything. And so I emailed him back and told him that, and he emailed me back and said, he hasn't been taking in any liquids at all. And so he said, okay, I'll work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, Donna, it's just part of my psychic abilities and what I can do. I didn't really have anybody teach me how to do that part of it. It just kind
all right. Well, that's good. That's good to know. Now, let's talk about addictions and distractions, because you have walked a road of experience with this, and you are very thoughtful with this. You talk about how you used alcohol from the time you were 19, and then when that ended after an accident at the age of 23, then you had an addiction to prescription drugs because you were medicated for this.
Yes.
And you go into this story, and it is a different perspective towards addiction that you present. Share with us your perspective on addiction.
Really? That's interesting. I didn't know it was different. Let's see. What is my perspective on addiction? I'm not even sure what you're thinking about.
Well, I know you made the comment that addiction isn't a one-trick pony.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And this is something that I think that everyone has their own response. It can be an addiction with food. It can be an addiction with drink. It can be with any number of things. Sometimes it's with cleaning, believe it or not. I'd love to have someone, I think, with that kind of a personality and take care of my house.
I know.
I mean, they could do the whole neighborhood. We'd just be jumping with joy. But anyway, there's all of these variables, and we have all these labels that we put
we
on it.
Yeah,
and I find many people that go through these journeys, if they are like you, they come out with a wisdom and an understanding, realizing that it's part of the journey. And some of your experiences were similar to those that a very famous trance medium of many generations ago, Arthur Ford, you don't hear too much about him. But he was a very famous man. In fact, he was the one that supposedly got the information on the special code that Houdini left for his wife.
Oh, interesting.
But, oh, yeah. So he
I didn't know that. Okay.
Very, yeah, and he had a persona that came through him called Fletcher. A fascinating man. It's fascinating to read his books.
It is, yeah.
So, he went through this addictive patterning over and over again because of injuries. You know, things that he went through, and it was quite an adjustment for you. And your story in here is very significant, and I'm looking at the clock, and I know we don't have a heck of a lot of time left, but I do want people to know that one of the emphases you have in your book is that of journaling.
Yes.
And
oh my
that's
goodness.
Important, and that's very important. Do you still do it?
Yes, I do. Yes. I journal a lot because it helps me to stay clear on, or even get clear on, what's going on in my life right now. And, I go for days sometimes without journaling anything. It's just regular days. Doesn't seem anything significant. But when I start to feel scattered or just confused about things, I do one of two things. I grab my journal and just start writing away. Or, Donna, sometimes I take my journal and I'll go to a restaurant, and I'll just say, okay, I'm going to go have lunch with God. And I sit down with a journal at the restaurant. I pretend that God's sitting across from me, and I will write out questions like, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? How should I handle this? Should I do anything with this, or should I leave it alone? And, Donna, it's cool because I just start writing thoughts and pictures that come to me. And I end up getting a lot of guidance that way. So I highly recommend journaling either with yourself or going and having lunch with God.
Now, Echo, we're almost out of time. What is your website? How can people reach you?
It's www.echobodine, and that's echobodine.com. And there's lots of fun things. I have a blog. We have a program called the Healing Pen Pal Program. If anybody out there is hurting, physically or emotionally or mentally, you want to check out the Healing Pen Pal Program. It's a really unique, very special service that we provide to people for free. There's lots of fun things, lots of really fun things. And I have other books, and I have meditation tapes, and So I would invite anybody to go and check out the website. It's good.
And for those of you that are interested in healing, she has a lot of references for different organizations, different suggestions. Her book, My Big Book of Healing. And Echo Bodine, I want to thank you very much for being my guest. I wish you the best in all of your endeavors and continue your good work.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on today.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. Now, don't forget her website, Echo Bodine, ECHOBODINE.com. And then she's even got a very special program, Healing Pen Pal. Mm-hmm. program.com. So you can go into that. So check it out. I think you'll find her information quite fascinating. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're coming back with some more good things. Don't go away.
Hip hip huzzah! My lords and ladies, come one, come all to the 11th annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Mara's Farms in Buckley, Washington during the first three weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and I'd like to invite you, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, this is worldwide, toll-free, and if you're a first-time listener or if you've been listening and you'd love to call in, all I need from you when you call in is your first name or your initial, and of course I thoroughly enjoy knowing where you're calling from in the country or in the world. And then after that, just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. And it's so easy, so much fun. I'm an information resource, and during this next half hour, I'm available to you. So again, 888-815-9756. Oh, and I have to tell you, by the way, all of my free passes are gone. That's right. I had people send me emails and call me, and they are all gone for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. So if you wanted to have one and you didn't call me, well, I'm sorry that you've missed it. But come on out anyway. This weekend, this is the second weekend for this fabulous event in the state of Washington, and I'd like to invite you to stop by my booth and say hello. And I had some people do that last weekend. It was just so much fun. It's always fun to meet listeners and to be able to chat with you and interact with you to see the real people that are there supporting the program. So if you do, look for the booth that has the huge yellow banners on the outside as well as the inside of the booth with the gigantic red lions on them, and that's mine. Now, the Renaissance Fair is being held at Mara's Farms in Buckley, Washington. Now, if you want to be at this event, and by the way, you can wear a costume coming out. It is a Renaissance Fantasy Fair, so anything goes, and You just come on out decked in whatever costume finery you would like to wear. And also, if you don't have any, there are people at the fair right after you enter that have a costume tent. And you can go in and you can rent a costume. So you can be in costume for the day and then go in and turn it in at the end of the day and go home in your comfortable clothes and just have memories that you'll carry with you forever. And it's a wonderful family event. So, again, go to their website, Washington Wren Fair. And don't forget to put the E on the end of the word fair. Washington, R-E-N-S-A-I-R-E. I hope to see you there. Be sure to stop by and say hello. I would love to meet you. And, again, all of the free passes are gone. Knowing what we went through here in the Pacific Northwest with the heat, it is something, depending on what part of the country that you're in, you may or may not be experiencing high temperatures. But it's so important to be prudent. Too frequently, we are so accustomed to being in air-conditioned surroundings that we forget some of the things we need to remember. And that is, if you need to exercise, if you like doing it out of doors, do it real early in the morning when the temperatures are the coolest. That is absolutely the best. And that's something I saw around in my neighborhood because we took our dogs out real early in the morning. Our oldest dog, our oldest Scotty, Kinsey, does not handle heat well at all. And she's going on 10 years of age, and so this does not bode well for her. So we have to take her out early in the morning. She's fine. She gets her walk in, and then we just keep her cooled down. In fact, we were dousing her with water, soaking her coat, so that she would keep her body more comfortable. And when you're in 104-degree temperatures, it doesn't take long for that water to dissipate and evaporate out of the coat. But meanwhile, it does cool the animal. And always provide lots of fresh water for your animals. And be sure you keep them enclosed in areas that they can stay comfortable in. If you've got an air-conditioned place, that's optimum. But lots of times, people leave their animals in cars, and it's just like children. You don't leave children in a car when the temperatures are over 65 degrees. You just don't, because depending on the type of car or truck you might have, their temperatures can build up inside so quickly. It's amazing. And I know I have a dark car, so that's something you need to be aware of. Also, make sure you drink lots of water. In Renaissance fairs in the past, when we've had high temperatures, we've had merchants, people that have been visiting collapse. They have a heat stroke. They have not taken care to cover their heads and to stay in the shade, nor have they had enough water to drink. So you must stay hydrated and don't forget to eat. Those electrolytes are important. And one of the favorite foods, interestingly enough, at the fair is pickles. Yes, pickles. They're loaded with salt and they have lots of electrolyte effects in them. And it's very refreshing. So if you're going to be out and about in high temps, just remember, your dill pickles are really something good to have to munch on. And kids like them as much as the adults do. So that's just a good tip, too. Also, remember when you are working in the yard, and sometimes I've seen people do this, they have this poison that they're out spraying in the yard. Well, if you have animals, you need to be thoughtful about this. If you use pesticides or fertilizers, you want to follow the label directions and wait until the chemicals are dry before letting pets walk on the grass or the areas of garden that you may have. And I will share with you a personal experience. We had a Scottish Terrier that ended up getting lymphoma because of exposure to pesticides. And what happens is when the animals go out, and I don't care about it even being dry, when the animals go out and they walk on anything that has pesticides on it, inadvertently, they will lick their paws, and we have to remember their size. And this is something that can contribute to health problems that may not come up right away. But remember, when those toxins enter those small bodies, small relative to the size of a human, it can be deadly. And it may surprise you that there are a lot of situations they're discovering that are affecting animals, both domestic as well as wild, because of toxins, pesticides, poisons that are being processed into the environment of the animals, like plastic? Holy Joseph. they've been doing research on plastic, and they're finding when they're dissecting corpses of animals, they're finding these little microscopic particles of plastic that's inside the bodies, especially young birds, because they don't know that it's not food, and the body cannot process it, so it ends up killing them. So be aware of these things. Also, be aware that you want to keep down the opportunity for mosquitoes to breed. Standing water, get rid of it. If you have buckets or barrels or something where water could have collected, pour it out. Don't let mosquitoes breed. Dogs and cats can get heartworm larvae easily from the bite of a mosquito. And if they happen to bite another animal, it passes right along. So you don't want that to happen. And depending on the part of the country that you live in, this is something that you may want to talk to your vet about. So those are just a few tips. But the heat is great. Be wise. And keep handy an aloe vera plant, because if you have sunburn, it's the best stuff to put on a sunburn. Absolutely marvelous. Just cut off a leaf, peel out that wonderful cooling gel on the inside, apply it to a sunburn, and let it do its work. It is absolutely, absolutely marvelous. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone lines are open, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The number to call, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, as a guest, we're going to have Gloria Aronson. It's EFT for procrastination. Now, what is EFT? It's a touch therapy, energy touch therapy. Have you heard of it? Well, I hadn't heard of it until about 2 years ago. And it's just absolutely wonderful, and it can do a lot of good, and you can help yourself. That's right, you can work on yourself for so many different things. But we're going to be talking especially about procrastination tomorrow. So I invite you to join us in the next week. We're going to, on Monday, explore auras. On Tuesday, we'll be talking about complementary and alternative cancer therapies. And then, and I know we've got a caller, I'll be going to that caller in just a moment, Winds of Dune, a science fiction sequel to the original Dune. Brian Herbert is going to be my guest. And then The Only Way Out is In by Reverend Daya Devi Doolin. And then Seeing is Believing by Ripley, believe it or not, their brand new book. Oh, we had a dynamic week ahead. So join us. It's a lot of fun, and I'm delighted to share with you. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat, and where in Connecticut?
In New Haven.
In New Haven. Well, welcome to the show. Now,
Thank you.
The first thing that I'm looking at with you, oh, I don't know that you're going to like this, but I have to tell it as I get it. Sit down and hush up. You need to be able to listen. Apparently, you have been running around in circles chasing your mental tail. Is that a visual? Hey, Gavilt. Anyway, you need to just calm down and try to control everything. It just doesn't work. Do what you're able to do and then release and let go. There is a lot on your plate. Attention to detail is important, but the things you cannot control, don't stress yourself over. And I know that due to the habits that we have, that we think worry is so essential and that this is something we are obligated to do, this is how we're trained, it's not easy to give that up. And you need to know that you're going to have more than enough to handle. Don't compound it by worrying. Deal with what's in front of you at the moment. Take care of that, and then the other things will take care of themselves. I hope that makes sense to you. Do you have a question for me? Oh, it does make sense. Oh, I love it when I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I laughed as soon as you said that. I thought you were going to say hush up to other people, but you're telling me to hush up with myself. And
yes,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. A couple of weeks ago, you gave me sort of a scolding. It was really great as far as I know.
I don't hear many people saying, gee, I'm so glad you scolded me.
Oh, I think you're terrific. I had asked about a guy and saying, you know, my feelings are so hurt, I feel so dismissed because he's just so self-absorbed and insensitive and so on. And you asked me, you know, why I need to think about why am I holding on to the hurt feelings. Anyway, I'd just like to see how you see the progress. I've stuck it out. And
okay, Pat, I'm going to interrupt you, dear. I need to take a break. Will you stay with me?
Okay.
All right. This is Donna Sebo. Pat is going to stay with me, and we're going to be coming back. But if you want to call in, the number to call is 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. We're going back to Pat in New Haven, Connecticut. Pat, you asked me about the progress with the relationship. Now, I honestly do not remember our discussion on the air. I talk with so many people. But I will say this to you. I am perceiving nothing really has changed.
Okay.
Nothing really has changed. The basics are still the basics. So,
not sure what that means.
Well, I'm not sure what you're wanting to ask me.
Well, he's very sort of tough and hard and doesn't want to talk on the outside, but my intuition said his heart is very tender. He may even be more sensitive than me, but I don't know if he wants to share that with me or not.
All right. The words I just said, I want you to think about them. Nothing has changed. He has not changed. He is still who he is. So the key is that the choice is yours. It is not your job to change him. You may be reading certain points of information correctly. My suggestion to you is you need to ask yourself, why do you feel you need to stay with a person that you feel you must help, rescue, or adjust when it's not your job to do that?
Okay.
And the reason that I'm saying that to you is that so frequently, women especially, but I've even seen this with men, it's not gender specific. It has more of a tendency with the female because of the way we are trained and because of the way we like to nurture.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in a relationship with someone and you, again, are trying to rescue them, you are wanting mm-hmm. them to change, you are to accept them as they are, is not working for you. You need to ask yourself why you feel you have to be there. Don't make excuses. There's not a good or a bad, a right or a wrong about this. But you need to have integrity with yourself. And you need to ask yourself, are you afraid of being without a person in your life? Are you afraid of scarcity, that there may only be three men in your local environment that's possibly available to choose one, and he's the best of the three, and not any of them are particularly exciting? And it does. Do you see what I'm trying to get across?
Yeah, I actually thought maybe this is part lesson for me to learn how to accept people, which I've not known yet. So,
well, it may well be. But again, I think it has more to do with your accepting who you are and what you really want in your life. And you don't
okay.
use him as an excuse. He is a
okay.
good human being.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he is that person that should be your partner.
Okay.
There's a lot of good people that you know that you would not want to share your breakfast table with.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
All right. When you have a personal relationship, that is especially significant. And that's where this is a lesson, I think. You can accept the lesson as you are perceiving it. That's fine. But I think you need to expand the lesson and realize this is part of your growing up into who you are
mm-hmm.
and recognition of what it is you really do want in a partner.
Okay.
And make it okay that he is who he is, and don't try to change him. Just make your choice and decision about when you're ready to move on, to open
okay.
yourself up to opportunities.
Okay. You're right about that too, Donna, because essentially I basically never had a relationship. I don't know what they're about. So, yeah, I am growing into myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I have questions.
Well, and that's good. That's wonderful
yeah.
when you ask questions. Boy,
right.
that is such a journey to have to go through, isn't it? Because when you're
it's great to have people like you, you know, ask the questions to.
Well, it's important because I know what that journey is like. It is
uh-huh.
so hard when, especially when you were younger. I know I was. I was told to keep your mouth shut. You don't have a right to ask questions. Or, you know, respect authority. Don't ever disagree with anyone. Blah 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 blah. Well,
right.
there's an appropriate theme to that when you're little, but the thing is, when you grow up, the world is different. And if you
right.
don't question, then it's too easy to become a victim, and then you get stuck, and then you say, what have I done? What am I, who am I, who's punishing me here? Nobody's punishing anybody. It's just the lack
absolutely.
Of awareness.
You're right, absolutely. Well, thank
and
you.
You're welcome, and you have a fabulous evening now.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo, and I know we're just about at the end of the hour. I want to remind you that we have got a great guest tomorrow, and I hope that you're going to be able to join us because we're going to be talking about procrastination with Gloria Aronson. Also, don't forget, I'm going to be at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair for those of you living in Washington, and I am, all the passes are gone. I don't have any passes left, but I'd love to see you out there. Bring your family, bring your friends. Dress up in costume. Just know this is time to have fun, and you'll love the vendors. You will thoroughly enjoy the craftspeople. You'll just have a great time. And stop by my booth and say hello. I'd love to meet you. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's so important to accept ourselves and to realize that there is something special for us to do in life. You may not ever find your face on People magazine. Is that important? No. What is important is that you honor yourself, honor your qualities of character, and walk with your head high and a sense of pride about giving your very best. Let your light shine. You definitely make a difference. This is Donna Sebo. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.